This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hour two of the Jesse Kelly Radio Show starts now. My name is Sean Parnell. I'm in the chair today for the great Jesse Kelly. I'm a combat veteran, New York Times bestselling author. More important than both of those things, I'm simply a humble servant of this country. Folks, listen. The Democrats are in complete panic mode. We're going to talk about that in the second hour. Operation Replace Biden is in full swing, but what can the Democrats do about it? I'm going to go into that in depth. And about 7:30, we've got Savage Rich Barris. Savage Rich Barris is a good friend of mine. I think he's the best pollster in America. Why? Because he understands the moment that we're in. He understands the data, yes. But he also understands the cultural moment. He's the director of Big Data Poll and host of Inside the Numbers. We're going to talk about Trump silence as his political enemies self-immolate. That and so much more ahead in hour two. Thanks for sticking with us. So Operation Replace Biden. I got to tell you, the last couple of days have been pretty great. You know, I've been telling people, take time to enjoy the victories as they come. Keep your eye on the ball, right? Because the ultimate goal is to defeat the radical left. You know, we talk about the radical left. They want to fundamentally transform this country. Well, that's liberal speak for they want to destroy everything that this country ever was. Because in order to fundamentally transform something, you must first tear it down. And so what does that mean? Our founding documents, our Constitution, individual liberty here that we have in the greatest country on the face of the planet. And remember, the Constitution is a contract between people and government, a contract that limits the size and the scope of the federal government to protect our freedom, to protect our liberty. You know, our rights are bestowed upon us by God, not government. And that's what makes us unique here in this country. And so you look at some of these Supreme Court rulings that have come down over the last week, Supreme Court laying the smackdown on the administrative state with the Chevron decision, the 1512C obstruction of an official proceeding, which basically guts beady-eyed little prosecutor freak Jack Smith, guts his case against Donald Trump. It also helps hundreds of January Sixers who have been languishing in prison for years, sometimes in solitary confinement, trials needlessly delayed. We get political prisoners here in this country. Shouldn't happen in America. And then, of course, the debate Biden goes on stage and has a disastrous performance at the debate. And so the Democrats, needless to say, are just in chaos right now. And it brings me joy to see my political enemies in chaos. And that's exactly what's happening in the Democrat Party right now. Believe me, they're in complete meltdown mode. There's talk of trying to replace Joe Biden on the ballot. And the media narrative is shifted in kind of a strange way. They watch Joe Biden's horrific performance on the stage. And then they immediately start saying Joe Biden has to step aside. And the reason why they're saying Joe Biden has to step aside is because that's the only way that the man can be replaced. Let me tell you a little bit about how the Democrat primary is structured. You know, because the great irony of all of this is that Democrats very likely will now become a victim of their own election rigging. Yes, we know the Democrats rig elections and cheat in elections. They've been cheating in elections and rigging elections since 1864 when they tried to carry ballots of dead Union soldiers across New York state line to try to beat Abraham Lincoln that year. They didn't do it. They weren't successful, but they have a long history of doing this. But the Democrats in this instance might become victims of their own election rigging, and let me tell you why. If you're a candidate in a Democrat primary and you get over 15% of the vote in that presidential primary in a state, then the delegates that you win in the 15%, they are bound to you. And in the first round of voting at the Democrat convention, they are mandated by law written by the Democrats, the DNC. They are mandated to vote for that candidate in the first round of voting. Well, here's the rub. They rigged the primary in favor of Joe Biden, and Joe Biden has almost all the delegates. And those delegates are mandated to vote for him. And oh, by the way, yes, Joe Biden might be an animated corpse. He's not there. But he's also the president of the United States. He wields enormous power. And oh, by the way, Joe Biden, people have been talking about the DNC. Well, the DNC is going to replace him. Joe Biden appointed the chair of the DNC. Joe Biden appointed the co-chair of the DNC. The Democrat National Committee is chock full of Biden loyalists. Biden, on a staff call just 2 days ago, and this is a direct quote, "Let me say this as clearly as I possibly can, as simply and straightforward as I can. I am running. No one is pushing me out. I'm not leaving. I'm in this race to the end, and we're going to win." Biden, just today, listen.
"Well, guess what? They're trying to push me out of the race. Well, let me say this as clearly as I can. I'm staying in the race. I'll beat Donald Trump. I will beat him again in 2020.
Biden says he's staying in the race. Now, listen, the Democrats have an extraordinary level of control over their superdelegates in their primary, and I get all that. They are a bunch of dirty fascists and commies who don't care about their voters. That much is true. So they control a lot. Anything could happen, but the only real path forward for the Democrats is maybe Kamala Harris. I mean, think about how difficult, even if you change the Democrat primary rules, there are still federal election commission rules that prohibit PACs from being set up. No other presidential candidate has a PAC that's set up. There are signatures that are required to get on the ballot in certain states. Heck, there's ballot access issues. Newsweek has this headline: Democrats might not be able to replace Joe Biden on the ballot in these states. According to the Heritage Foundation's research, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Nevada may prove particularly difficult for Democrats. It said that only death can remove a candidate's name from Wisconsin ballot, while Nevada's deadline for changing candidates ended at 5 p.m. on the 4th of June. So, folks, how about this? What about TV advertising? The Biden campaign has already reserved millions of dollars in TV advertising.
They book those ads far in advance because they're far cheaper to do it that way. If they replace Biden, even if they replace Biden with Harris, they have to re-reserve those ads, which the price goes up astronomically the closer we get to election day. What about campaign infrastructure? What about staff? What about websites? There's no bank account. I mean, many of the brick and mortar staff buildings that Democrats have in swing states and in states all across the country, those aren't transferable. I mean, there's a million little details that I think people aren't considering here. And there, I think that the Democrats are legitimately stuck with Biden. And then we talk about the other candidates. You're talking about people who they want to replace Biden with. Gavin Newsom, I'm sure you heard that, from California. Gretchen Whitmer, governor of Michigan. Josh Shapiro. Do you think any of those people want to step in at the last minute and go up against Trump, who is the most electrifying political figure in my lifetime, to be sure? Already down. Isn't it just so much easier for those candidates to say, hey, throw their hands up and say, hey, look, 2028 is a lot better bet. They can all roll into Washington, D.C. like they're Commodus from the movie Gladiator, like a conquering hero, say, I'm going to save the Democrat Party from Donald Trump and the evil Republicans who've been running this nation for four. Donald Trump is termed out. I mean, it's so much easier of a political position, is it not? And then they've got the Kamala problem. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Do not miss this when we talk about the Kamala problem. Jesse Kelly Radio Show. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Welcome back to the Jesse Kelly Radio Show. My name's Sean Parnell in the chair for Jesse Kelly. And listen, I know that my friend Jesse has had a theory out there for 6 months. He's been out front on this issue that they're going to replace Joe Biden. And in fact, there are lots of conservatives that think that Joe Biden's got to go. And why would you think any differently when you look at the media is completely turned on the guy? I'm simply presenting you all, the rest of America. I am a conservative voice that thinks it's going to be a lot more difficult for them to replace Joe Biden than people think. You've got the issue of political candidates that would potentially replace him in Newsom, Whitmer, Shapiro, who might definitely don't want to jump into the race at the last minute and be a sacrificial lamb. That will hurt them in 2028. Those people don't want to run against Donald Trump. Again, Donald Trump is a force to be reckoned with and brings out a crazy cross-section of voters, the likes of which I have not seen, and I know because I've been on the ballot with him. Like, I know what this man can do. And believe me, these people want nothing to do running against Donald Trump. It's far easier for them to arrive on the scene in 2028 and not have to take the risk of losing. And that brings me to the Kamala problem. Can't pass over Kamala. So here again, just like the Democrats might be victims of their own election rigging, so too will they become a victim of their own DEI insanity. And that, of course, I'm talking about our DEI vice president and Kamala Harris. And here's the 30,000 foot of Kamala Harris. I have it on very good authority that most people inside the Democrat Party revile Kamala Harris. They don't like her. The general electorate hates her. If you look at the polling, and I'm not just talking about one poll. I don't trust one poll. I look at a plurality of poll. I look at trends. She is somehow, some way, less likable than Joe Biden. And even she's even less articulate than Joe Biden. It's absolutely unbelievable. And they can't pass her over. Because once she's on the ticket, she's the only one that can legally inherit Joe Biden's war chest, and she's black. And so again, ironic now that Democrats are victims of their own self-inflicted wounds. And Jill Biden, that brings me to Jill. Jill becomes a very easy scapegoat if she forces Biden to stay in the race and Biden loses. Well, she becomes the Yoko Ono of the Democrat Party. And that brings me to the voters. Millions of Democrats voted for Joe Biden to be the nominee. There's no good way to upend that system, ignore the rules and laws, all to the detriment of their voters. And look, we know, again, the Democrats rigged the primary in 16 against Bernie Sanders. They rigged it again in 2020 against Bernie Sanders. But millions of Democrats have already voted. And to replace Biden at the convention to some sort of brokered convention will fracture their Democrat base even more. And then this brings me to the people behind the curtain in the Biden administration. They love 3 years with an animated corpse that is Joe Biden as president. Think about this. The people who are pulling the strings, they are able to do insanely radical things to this country and get away with it. Things that they otherwise would not be able to do with their name attached. So you wonder why this country has fallen off a cliff so fast in just 3 short years. I asked my father about this, who lived through JFK's assassination and RFK and Martin Luther King. He said, has America ever been this bad? He said, well, it was pretty rough in the 60s. It was a pretty tumultuous time. But I've never lived through a time where America has gone downhill so fast as they have under Joe Biden. But this is why. You have people who are unaccountable behind the scenes pulling the strings for Joe Biden. Not accountable for any of the radical stuff that they're doing. And my question to you, America, is this. Do you have any idea who these people might be? I do. Listen.
You know, now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, I'd be fine with that.
That's basically exactly what's happening. Barack Obama. It's no coincidence that Barack Obama bought a mansion in D.C. within walking distance of the White House. Biden staffers walk from the White House to meet with Obama and his staff. Obama staffers walk from Biden's house to the White House every day. Yet the media doesn't talk about this at all. Oh, believe me, they could tell you where their Kardashians are at any given moment of the day. But this, they're all like Sandra Bullock and Bird Box. They don't know. Oh, President Obama's living right down the road. Oh, he's just there for his daughter going to college. But I want you to think about this. This arrangement, no accountability, is perfect for all these people. People like Barack Obama, all these Obama acolytes. Biden's a meat puppet, 1 foot in the grave. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. He's basically fit to be an extra on the set of Walking Dead. Hell, you could put him in a city filled with zombies and he wouldn't even be attacked because they would think he was one of them. But my point is this. It's fair to say that Biden's a weak president who's easily manipulated, right? I think that's fair. Well, Obama's the one that's doing the manipulating. But here's the rub. Biden has to win. And Team Obama and all the power brokers in the Democrat Party, they're not sure that he can. So that's why you've seen this narrative shift to try to push him out. At the last, very, very late in the game. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it. And so up next, I've got my very good friend, Rich Barris, director of Big Data Poll and host of Inside the Numbers. He's going to give his take on whether or not the Democrats can remove Joe Biden. And we're going to talk about all the latest polls, that and so much more on the Jesse Kelly Radio Show. We'll be right back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on the Jesse Kelly Radio Show. My name's Sean Parnell, in the chair for Jesse Kelly, and it is great to be here. Folks, we have been talking about Operation Replace Joe Biden. Should he stay or should he go, or is it even possible in the first place? Well, I've got my very, very good friend here. His name is Rich Barris. My nickname for him is Savage Rich Barris because, yes, he's a pollster. Yes, I believe he's probably the best in the entire country at what he does. But he can also be very, very savage from time to time. He's the best in the business. I want to get his opinion on all of this because he's got his finger on the pulse of America. So without further ado, Savage Rich Barris, welcome to the Jesse Kelly Radio Show, my friend.
Hey, buddy, how was your Independence Day? Thanks for having me. Living the dream, buddy.
It was really, really good. You know, if you would have asked me, last year that if I was going to be celebrating Independence Day with 5 children, 4 goats, 10 chickens, a rooster, that's what my Independence Day was. Here we are.
Some friends over, neighbors over. We always do a pretty decent fireworks show. We put that kind of together last minute and barbecued and had a good old American, your traditional American Independence Day. It was nice. I really enjoyed myself. It was a good time.
Well, all right. So we have talked about this on my show many times, and I have been going against the grain. Many conservatives out there saying that, Joe Biden's going to be replaced. Many conservatives have been saying this. A lot of people have been saying it for a long time. He's going to be replaced 6 months ago. I don't think it's possible. What's your take on all of this?
It would be, and I'm with you on that. We've seen a lot of historic firsts, but the fact of the matter is a lot of the commentary out there is being leveled by people who really don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand not only party rules, but state law, which is totally different. And those say nothing of the optics of what it would be to replace Joe Biden, somebody tens, 100 million people voted for to be their nominee. So you just can't do that, Sean. Tens and tens of millions of people have spoken, and it would cause such a friction, fracture within the party. Now, to that, a lot of people say, well, that's why they'll replace him with Kamala Harris. But voters aren't voting, even Democratic primary voters, they're not voting for Kamala Harris. They voted for Joe Biden. And, like I said on your show last week, I hate to say this, but it doesn't seem like people know enough about this, and I have to spell it out for them. It's not simply about the candidate dropping out. There are many of these exceptions only have to do with whether the candidate is no longer with us. Let me put it that way. So it's just like a Herculean task. and I don't see it happening. You know,
well,
Truman,
Rich, I
he was out
I mentioned,
before voting.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned there are ballot access rules in place in swing states where Joe Biden simply can't get on the ballot. It's too late. And so,
Sean, they almost didn't get on the ballot in Ohio already. I mean, this is like, and that's because of the dysfunction. That's not because of, you know, them trying to replace him. If they tried to replace him, they're not getting on the ballot in Ohio.
So, Rich, the only viable option for the Democrats is going to talk, hey, Newsom doesn't, he's not going to want to run against Trump. Shapiro's not going to want to run against Trump. Whitmer's not going to run against Trump. They're sure as heck not going to want the chaos that comes from passing over Kamala Harris's VP. There'll be a lot of drama there. It's got to be the only one. It's got to be Kamala. She's the only one that can even legally inherit Biden's war chest. But to me, this is just me speaking. The electorate does not like Kamala Harris, and somehow she's polls less favorable than Joe Biden. Am I wrong about this?
No, you're not wrong. The Harvard Harris poll just came out, and Trump was beating Biden by 6, but he's beating Harris by 10. And these are the numbers we've seen before. We've polled everyone. Kamala Harris, Gavin Newsom, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama. I mean, we've thrown it all on the table. And Biden is still the strongest candidate. And I know that makes Republicans like scoff. Like, how could that be? But it is. And I would tell them to think of it like this. Monroe County, Michigan. Macomb County, Michigan. Scranton, Pennsylvania. Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. You know, Pike County, Pennsylvania. Northampton, Pennsylvania. Erie, Pennsylvania. Do you think these areas are going to vote for Kamala Harris? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Joe Biden is his appeal, for better or worse, whether you can see it or not, or we can see it or not, that is just, it's indisputable. I mean, they call him Scranton Joe. He always tried to have that persona. She is a coastal lefty from California with a checkered background, to say the least. I mean, this is not going to fly in middle America. It's just not.
We're talking to Rich Barris, director of Big Data Poll and host of Inside the Numbers. I think, just so everyone's tracking out there, I think he's the best pollster in the business. And I've said many times in the show, I don't trust one poll. We look at pluralities and we look at trends, and nobody does it better than Rich. And so, Rich, the Democrats, I've said on the segment prior that it seems to me they're becoming a victim of their own election rigging, that Biden has all the delegates. Biden stacked the DNC. Kamala Harris is the only viable option. So let me ask you this. We've got about 4 minutes left. Where do the Democrats go from here?
They made their bed. Now they have to lie in it, Sean. It really is that simple. They kept Kennedy off the ballot in multiple states. In New Hampshire, where Dean Phillips maybe could have put on, because that is the state, for people who don't know out there, that is the state that's going to tell you whether you're an incumbent and you have a base problem or you have an issue. And surprisingly, that he didn't do, you know, extremely fantastic there. Obama, Reagan, Clinton, and Trump got a lot more of the vote share than they, as an incumbent, sitting incumbent president, than Biden did. Biden's kind of down on the totem pole historically. But in order to make sure that that was not going to be a problem, they stripped the delegates out of New Hampshire, right? So, you know, made sure that they front-loaded states that Joe Biden could do better in. This is a demon of their own design, and really that's the only way we can put it. And now they just have to deal with this, you know, see what they can do with their get out the vote. Because, again, I mean, we just gave people four or five challenges why it's not as simple as, oh, we're just going to pluck Joe Biden out because he's a bad candidate and we're not going to run him. That's not how it works. And that gets into what you touched on. It gets nothing into the war chest problem that they will have, which is, yeah, Kamala can take that war chest. But this is what do they do in this situation? They run it. They run with it. And Republicans should want to, because if you're a Republican out there and you feel like you got gypped, this, you don't want Joe Biden to leave. You need Donald Trump to beat Joe Biden so you could show the system that you got justice for what they did in 2020. So, you know, if it was Kamala Harris, they're going to skate on that forever, Sean. They're going to be able to skate across it forever. If Joe Biden goes down to Donald Trump in 24, it will be a sign that, you know, the jig is up. They know what you did. You tried to rig it. It backfired on you, and you were rejected. And America basically corrected the issue.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we're talking with Rich Barris. I mean, Rich, we don't have that much long left here in this segment, but can you stick around for another segment?
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely.
All right, stick around, Rich. Listen, folks, America, I am with you. I'm with Rich here. I don't want Biden out of this race. I want him to lose, and I want him to lose to Trump. I want his last political act to be going down in flames with a legitimate loss to Donald Trump. And so we're going to talk about that and polling and so much more when we come back on the Jesse Kelly Radio Show. Stick right there.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
We are back here on the Jesse Kelly Radio Show. My name's Sean Parnell. I'm in for my good friend Jesse Kelly. Thanks for staying with us. We've been talking with Savage Rich Barris, director of Big Data Poll, about Operation Replace Biden. Can the Democrats do it? I don't think that they can. If they do, I think their only option is Kamala Harris. And so, Rich, thank you, first of all, for sticking around for two segments. I love talking to you, my friend. Looking at the new Wall Street Journal poll that finds that 80% of Americans believe that Biden is too old to run for president again. And let me just set this next question up. I know that you believe, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you believed that the Trump debate was likely a mistake. You didn't want him to take the risk. He was winning. So Trump comes out. Biden has this disastrous debate. And Trump is clearly the front runner now. There's chaos in the Democrat ranks. And what you and I spoke about on the show this week was Trump has been unbelievably disciplined as his political opponents self-immolate, which is rule number one on a campaign. If your opponent is in self-destruct mode, you just stay quiet. Well, Trump came out yesterday and said he wants another debate, but with no moderators, and he wants it to be no holds barred. And my thought, Rich, was, please, God, no. Like, you are already winning. Like, all you have to do, Mr. President, is tweet out a GIF of an American flag that says, God bless America, or just talk about your agenda. You don't even need to address Joe Biden at all. Rich, what do you think about that?
Overconfidence, a huge mistake. Listen, the first time, the only reason I was wrong the first time, it's like, not my fault the nootropics don't work on the guy anymore. You know, I thought he would come out at least animated like he did during the State of the Union, but it was just a complete catastrophe. But this was the moment is lost already, and what I mean by that is the debates are not set up in this country, and it's sad. You have the debate on presidential commissions. They're a bunch of fanatics. They're supposed to be bipartisan. It's a joke. Everybody is anti-Trump, whether they're like never Trumpers on that commission or just straight Democrats who can't stand him or Republicans. And then the other part that's supposed to be Republican is like the one that's kind of groveling to be in the cool kids club and to be let like to. Like, can I just sleep at your feet at the table so when the crumbs fall off, I can eat them? You know, this needs to be reformed badly. And what Trump's talking about is not even like, I feel like the moment's already lost and Biden needed that debate. He's not going to be so eager to do it again. So he's going to want rules that benefit him. Donald Trump, if he was going to debate Joe Biden, he should have used it as an opportunity to reform the debate process in a way that doesn't work for corporate media and work for the advertisers like Big Pharma and the rest of them, but in a way that really does serve and work for the American people so they can hear, you know, the difference between their leaders. And there should be other people. People are praising Jake Tapper. I'm not going to praise him. I mean, it was very clear he tried to save Joe Biden multiple times. He said, you know, Mr. President, you have more time. Like, that's not the job of the moderator to tell the president he didn't fill in the gaps of time. He forfeits the time if his time is done. Sean, if his answer is done, the time is forfeited and you move on. So I'm not. And then, by the way, after what, 25, 30 minutes, he pivoted to nonsense like J6 and stuff that was clearly intended to help Joe Biden, abortion and the rest of it. The public doesn't care really about that. Like, I'm in our poll right now, abortion is a distant number four. Overwhelmingly, inflation and the cost of living in this country are the issues that Americans wanted to hear about. Beyond that, it's immigration and border security. And then beyond that, it's general economics and jobs. And this is not what they spent their time talking about. So, you know, I think Trump's being overconfident here, and you never know what Joe Biden's going to show up. If you're going to do it, at least serve a purpose. You know, I mean, at this point, there's nothing else he needs to do, Sean. Also, in that Wall Street Journal poll, he was ahead by 6 points. So why would you give? Why would you do anything to risk that lead? It's just
well, look, I as much as I would like to see Donald Trump give Joe Biden the people's elbow, I also don't want anything to. I don't want the guy. I want the guy in the White House, Rich, and all he has to do is focus on his agenda, focus on the American people, talk about Agenda 47, talk about the economy, talk about how you're going to fix inflation, talk about how you're going to seal the southern border. I mean, get out there and just completely ignore the animated corpse. He's barely there anyway. So this brings me to this. We talked a little bit about polling and what you're seeing in this post-debate poll. And I want to talk about an enigmatic group of voters that always seems that at least the Republican establishment is obsessed with. We've got about 4 minutes left, and we're talking with Savage Rich Barris, director of Big Data Poll. Rich, you hear a lot about Republicans, and what are we going to do to win back suburban women? What are we going to do, and do we need to?
The truth is, with Trump at the ballot and with MAGA as the agenda, you really don't need to focus on what is essentially 13% of the electorate. We just obsess over it. It's unbelievable. Just to give people some quick numbers, 52% of the electorate is typically women. Of those, not all of them have a college degree. And guess what? Not all of them live in suburban America. Suburbs are only, Sean, about 50% of the vote in total. Not talking about, and I don't mean only, I mean that's half, but they're about 50% of the vote in by area. And then of that, about half is women. Of that, less than have the college degree. I mean, so we're just obsessing about what is essentially 13, 14% of the electorate, while we're forgetting that there is a, and for the first time in my lifetime, a huge wealth of untapped voting potential. These are people that will come out for Donald Trump, don't participate in the process all that much. Republicans have an enormous opportunity to get these people to come out. Sean, it's the difference between a nail biter and then just going home at like 11:30. Like, it's over. We're ending the stream now. It's over. We can go home. We know that everyone can turn off the lights. And we, you know, there's a new president-elect. And that's how many of these voters there are. You know, I try to give people an idea. Like, in Michigan alone, folks, you're talking about a solid, you know, 700,000 to 1.3 that on paper look like they would be Republican or Trumplican if you could get them to the voting booth. They should stop obsessing over the women, that many of which they cannot win back anyway, and go and change the electorate the way Democrats did. Democrats at some point said, we're tired of trying to win over a certain group. We're just going to change the electorate. And that's what they did. Well, now Republicans have the opportunity to do that. Their best bet and the smartest bet and the long-term stability and viability of their party is to go after those voters, change the electorate, appeal to the younger generation that MAGA is now appealing to, and move on and build yourself a party that's going to be viable in the future.
Rich, you got about 30 seconds. Tell America how they can best support you.
Yeah, the best thing they could do, as always, Sean, is to go to Locals, peoplespundit.locals.com. They could always just go to Big Data Poll as well. Everything we do is through the Public Polling Project. It's crowdsourced, not funded by, you know, corporations or anything. They can go check it out there, and they'll find that on Locals as well. peoplespundit.locals.com.
All right, my friend, Savage Rich Barris, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Up next, History of the Deep State, third hour of the Jesse Kelly Radio Show. Stick with us.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday,
normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.